Hi.
So we just got back from the beach.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. There's this thing that happens when you get to adulthood and married life. Or I guess you could do it your whole life, I guess. But you can start going on vacations with your friends.
Yeah.
And especially when you have an income. It's kind of nice. But, you know, because for 26 years, I've gone on vacation with my family, which is awesome.
Yeah, you're just the kid sitting in the back seat.
Right. And usually leads to some type of drama. But
like just hoping that when you stop at a gas station, you get to get whatever treat you want.
Right. And this year, I get whatever I wanted.
Yeah, you could just... by the way, I think people are super divided on this, but are you a Circus Peanuts guy?
No. Well, let me take that back. I don't know if I've ever eaten one because
it's so confusing.
Those
little orange marshmallowy, yeah. they're shaped like peanuts.
Yeah, what do they taste like?
They're good. Okay. Well, okay, I like the Circus Peanuts, but
I like chocolate covered pretzels. I don't like pretzels at all.
That's so
well,
weird.
That's not true. I'll never reach for a pretzel. If there's chips laid on a table,
you like the big fat pretzels and the beer cheese at like an American style restaurant,
yes.
Right?
Yes, like deep fry a pretzel and give it to me, and give me some beer cheese with it.
But I feel like there's just a strong divide. Like there are two kinds of people in the world: Circus Peanuts people and non-Circus Peanuts people.
I feel that way about olive people. I feel like I can tell by your personality if you like olives.
You could just look at somebody, listen to a few sentences, and be like, "Yep, she likes olives."
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that. Like, I don't know how to explain that to anybody, but I do feel pretty... I have, like, an 88% success rate on that
The one. First time that I went to Spain, Will Reed pulled me aside at church and was like, "Listen, the olives in Spain." And he just, like, waxed poetic for, like, 10 minutes about the olives. And at the end of this thing, I had to be like, "I don't like olives."
Well, here's the thing. I would say Will likes olives. Kim does not like olives.
Okay.
Like, I would say that. Affirmatively.
And I'd love to hear them argue about it.
Yeah, for sure.
So you're not a Circus Peanuts guy, but you don't know because you haven't had them. What if you've been missing out this whole time and you taste it when you're like, "Oh,
I'm just not like a big candy guy." I love candy, but I hate the way I feel this way about soda too. I've learned that. Like, I had a vanilla Coke on the way because I needed something to like keep me up, and I love vanilla Coke.
Yeah.
But I am like, I spend the next hour wondering if I'm going to get a cavity. I'm like, I feel my teeth with my tongue. I'm like, this is not good. It feels terrible. So I avoid candy usually. It's so funny. I'm so weird. So we were at the beach with our friends.
Yeah.
And it was just really fun. It was fun to be there with our friends. And this is so silly, but we, like, first of all, Rob Logan wears this, like, he has a straw hat that he uses for mowing. And for beaching. So that
was he born like an old man? That is so awesome.
Rob said while we were down there, he said he will peak at age, I think it's 40. Like Aaron said that, like Rob always says, "I'll peak at age 40. And it's true because except for the fact that Rob loves playing in the ocean more than any human I've ever seen. Boogie boarding, body surfing, throwing a football,
really?
Diving under waves.
Oh man.
Yeah, we played so
just
much.
Just goes off.
But we were driving home from dinner one night, and I like have this character I do that people don't know about except for my wife and now the Logans. And it's, do you know the movie Julia and Julie?
Yeah.
About Julia Child?
Right.
I just do the male version of Julia Child. Like, like it's like basically Thurston Howell the Third. Like that's my...
So the Julia Thomas, Tulia.
Yeah. I'm Tulia.
Okay.
But so Rob joined in with me and we were just Julia and down our way down like this highway in Florida. And we were just mid Julia. And at the last second, me and Aaron at the exact same time saw a frog hop out from the grass, land under Rob's tire and explode.
It just popped like a pimple.
We were all just like, "Oh!" It's that it's that moment in Hamilton where everyone says he points his pistol to the sky, like,
"Wait!"
Yeah, and like we were like, "Run!" But there's nothing he could have done.
Oh, And it just pops like a water balloon.
Just exploded.
On the 4th of July. Poor guy. Wow.
Anyways.
That's so fun.
We had a blast.
Welcome to Ancient and New.
We just had a blast.
That's fun.
It was fun.
This is partly a Bible study podcast where we look at some scriptures and Thomas is going to start. What if you did this whole episode in the Julia voice? You shouldn't do
no,
that.
No, that is a thing very few people ever get to see. It is also a thing that I think probably annoys. It has a very short window of being funny, and then it closes really quick. But I was explaining to them. I was like, listen, guys, I know this from experience. This will be funny for about 12 seconds, and then you're going to want to push me out of the car. But then there will be a moment later tonight where it comes out, and you will think it is hilarious. And I'm probably just speaking for myself in that because it annoys me. But I think it was true. I think that window is true. Especially because Rob would whip it out and it would be perfect.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Okay, let's look at some scripture. I have a feeling like Maddie and Aaron are listening to this. Like, oh my gosh, that thing is so annoying.
Does Aaron listen to this podcast?
I don't know. I really don't know.
We'll find out. Really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, Slicing It Up with Ern is one of my favorite TV shows. So it'd be like a famous TV star is listening to the show.
Yeah, it's the best pizza review thing.
There's no question. There's never been a better pizza review.
Slicing It Up with Ern. Follow it. And then watch their review of West Hills Flats and Taps in Knoxville. Rob's intro music is like a ringtone. But then when they had to go back and correct it, there's the flashing. They like added a second video and Aaron was like, I'm so sorry. I gave that way too high of a score. Anyways, people who don't know, don't know. You need to go follow this on Instagram. Okay. We are going to look at Psalm number 6.
Ooh.
Number 6.
Psalm 6.
Number 9.
Number 9.
Number 9. Listen to the Beatles. This is so interesting. I read this morning in the wee small hours of the morning at like 5 o'clock. With a cup of coffee, and it was interesting. It stood out.
We small hour. You've been saying a lot of like British vernacular lately, and that was kind of Scottish, but still.
I think it's my Julia Child, inner Julia Child.
It's just like
I know. I think she's American.
Knocking on the window.
She's American, but she sounds British to me. I think. Anyways, okay. Psalm 6, Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. Have mercy on me, Lord. For I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the grave? I am worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. I don't know. I've said this on here before. I don't know if David started writing that, had a cup of coffee, went on a run, ate something, but there's a major turn there. In the middle of it. It goes from the saddest thing.
Pull the e-brake and yeah. Cut the wheel.
Yeah. It just goes from like the saddest little psalm to just like he has like a realization of like the Lord has heard my weeping. He's heard my cry. And yeah.
I'm so sorry I interrupted you. As Patsy would say, sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, sorry for interrupting.
But the thing that this is doing to me right now is I've been playing a lot of Fortnite with Nora and Jack, and Jack is so extra when he's playing, and you know, you've played with him. Have you played with him online?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yeah, I played with him.
He'll be like super doomsday. He's like, oh, I'm dead. I suck. This game is over. And then he'll find this one particular weapon, and if he finds it, and he's like, oh, I'm wrecking. I'm winning. Just immediately. There's no gray with him. Either he is dying and it's over and he sucks, or he is winning the whole thing.
Oh, that's amazing.
And by the way, it's a purple tack.
That's awesome. Okay, so I want to get better at that. That's the only thing I feel about this. Like, I had this moment this morning when I was like calling out to the Lord in prayer, and I was reading this after I'd done this already. And I feel like it's a good practice in the middle of calling out to the Lord for help, in the middle of asking him for things, to just say to yourself, the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer.
Yeah.
And just to like, and David may be doing that. I don't know. Like, or maybe he got a high five from God and it was like, obviously I'm listening to you. I don't know, but it is the truth. The Lord is listening.
Yeah.
The Lord hears you. And I think it's a good practice to say those things. And I think it's helpful. And it may not bring you resolution to the thing that you're in and the thing you're praying for. But I do think it's good practice to say out loud. And I'm like, I just felt that this morning, to say to myself and to say to the Lord, I know you hear me and I know you accept my prayer. And that's a good thing. I think it's a sweet thing to remember, because it can be easy to think to yourself, God's not here. God's not listening. God doesn't know what I'm saying. God doesn't know what I'm going through. Because a lot of times when you're praying, it can feel like I'm the only person here. I'm the only person who knows what I'm going through. I'm saying stuff to thin air, like all that stuff. And I felt this morning like the Lord saying to me, hey, practice this. I am listening to you. I do hear you. I do accept your prayer. Here's some mercy. You know, like, and it was such a, it felt like a cheat code to hear those things and to see that David did that.
That's really cool. I've often wondered like how different the Psalms would have been if David had had coffee. It's like it wasn't discovered yet in that part of the world, you know? And so like,
they just probably started their morning off with a glass of wine. Why am I so sleepy? I'm more sleepy than... Yeah.
I'm already...
Bro, you just had the, just, the just sleepiest had drink. Yeah.
But, yeah, this is so interesting. It's interesting to me because, like, for me, this is the kind of thing that... it's the kind of thing that I've gotten from, you know, my spiritual teachers in my life. Guys like Tom, who have directly mentored me, or Potsy, or Darnell, or, like... or guys that I've read, in particular F.B. Mayer, like he has certain things that he says, out loud before, he's in heaven now with the Lord. So he doesn't have to do this kind of thing. Mm. He's face to face with Jesus. But when he was living, he said that he would, when he would wake up, he had like a little mantra that he would say to Jesus. He would say, I believe you are near. I know that you are here. And he would say those things out loud to Jesus before he did anything, before he left his room. I believe that you are here. I know that you are near. And it was a thing that like, it centered his thinking, or it directed his thinking in a certain trend. It didn't always, it wasn't a thing where it like, okay, it solved all of my problems for the whole day, but it kicked me into the right gear. You know, I'm headed in the right direction. It's like when you're following your GPS and you hit that recenter thing and it's like, now you can see the pathway forward. And I feel like this is a similar deal where like, if you could interview David after he put the pen down on this song, it's like, do you feel 100% better? Like, are your eyes dry and everything? And he might say like, I don't feel 100% better, but it's good for me to hit that recenter button on the GPS, right, and say, I believe that you hear my cry for mercy. Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
It's interesting. I've learned about myself that essentially every morning I, in some way, maybe different language, my first prayer to the Lord is just how much I need him. And
yeah,
it's some type of language of that phrase. Like it's some type of variation of that phrase, you know? Right. And I, no matter how awesome or how crappy I feel, like I'm just, there's like my, I need you. And like, oh, I need you so bad. You know, there's both of those things. And I don't know, as routine as I am, I almost feel guilty doing that sometimes. Just like, ugh, I'm saying the same things over and over and over again. And it's probably annoying to you and it probably doesn't work. There's probably a code to this that I don't understand. Like,
what if the Thomas Julia Child voice was annoying to Jesus?
It probably is.
I'm sorry.
It probably is. It's annoying to people, but I think it's funny. It's funny to me. I think it's so funny. But I don't know. In the middle of that, it was cool to think to myself, like, even though I essentially say the same things to you every morning, you do hear me and you accept it and you have mercy for me. Mm.
I want to read a little passage out of Hebrews chapter 11. And Hebrews chapter 11, for folks that are super familiar with the New Testament, is kind of like the author of Hebrews is saying, let's look back at the people who came before us and look at what their walk with the Lord was like. Kind of the shining moment of their faith. And it's like you're walking down a hallway and there's like portraits of different people. And underneath the portrait is kind of like a one line, like this is what was awesome about their walk with the Lord. He starts with Abel and he goes through Noah and everything, goes to Abraham and Sarah. And after talking about them in particular, because the Lord had promised Abraham a land, the land of Canaan. And then when Abraham physically got there, he looked around and realized like, oh, this is like a version of the promise, but it's not the whole thing. Like, this is technically the promised land that you're promising me. But also like, I realize the ultimate answer to that promise is in a completely different world, like a completely different universe. Like, this is not it. It says in Hebrews 11 that he was looking for a city whose architect and builder is God. Hmm. And this ain't it, kind of thing. And so, and Sarah was the same in a different circumstance, but she had kind of the same feeling. So in verse 13 of Hebrews 11, it says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own, which, side note, that makes me think of that Thad Cockrell song. I'm looking for a country of my own. Do you remember that song? No. Oh, dude, you need to listen to Thad Cockrell on the way to work today.
I always look a step behind.
His first record, it's like somebody mixed it intentionally to sound like a Johnny Cash record from the 60s.
That's cool.
And it's just beautiful. It's like really, really well done kind of folk pop country. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Mm-hmm. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This goes in conjunction with something that I've been reading, a devotional book where somebody just collected little excerpts from all these writings of a guy called Henry Nouwen, and they split them up into kind of little passages for every single day. And here Henry Nouwen was saying in a recent passage that there's a place that you can get to in your life where you realize that the small little things in your life are not standing in the way of you finding fulfillment, but they are the way to fulfillment. So whether that's like washing the vegetables that you're going to cut up and cook for your dinner, or doing some meaningless like spreadsheet, or like taking out the trash or brushing your teeth, all of these little things, or a conversation with so-and-so, or filling up the gas tank. These are not things that I have to plow through in order to hopefully find some fulfillment. But like, there is a way for me to realize this is the path that I'm on to get to the place where my soul is fulfilled. He's not specifically talking about like the fact that we're going to heaven in that, but when this passage in Hebrews 11 collided with that thought from Henry Nouwen, I realized that there is a way for me where I kind of plant my own discontentment by saying like I'm looking for something and this isn't it, and so therefore I I am pissed about all the things that I have to do, which is like, that's a thing that happens in me. And it's easy for me to just say, it's not heaven, so I hate it. But there is another way to slice that where it's like, I'm going to heaven and it's going to be so fulfilling and so beautiful and so perfect, you know? And this is not it. And so I don't have to be as dissatisfied as everybody else is with it. Yeah. I can be dissatisfied with it for a real reason, right, which is it was never supposed to do anything for me.
Yeah.
Therefore, I hope this is making, in my brain, this is making sense. It feels like it's coming out really convoluted, but like, because I don't need it to be my fulfillment, in a way, I can have a different style of disappointment in it, mm-hmm, because I didn't expect it to fulfill me. I expected it to be brushing my teeth.
Yeah.
And in a way that enables me to enjoy it more because, oh man, I have to brush my teeth because my teeth are falling apart and because I live in a fallen world and I have to deal with this annoying.
Never thought of that before. Never thought of it like that before.
You know, it's just like me brushing my teeth is a participation in the fact that, oh man, I haven't found the country of my own yet. But I'm on my way there. And like that really angry person that works at that one place, you know, in Oak Ridge, that like, if you're not a really cute girl, he hates you. We all know who I'm talking about. Like, and then, but if you are, then he treats you great, which is, it's a guy that works at the dump in Oak Ridge.
Oh, yeah,
but okay. Like, it's like, I got to deal with that guy sometimes, but it's like, if I look at the fact that I'm going to heaven and this was never supposed to be fulfilling, then I can look at him with a pity and I can pray for him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to ruin my day the same way that he would, right, if I was looking for this world to fulfill me. Right. Does this make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. There's, yeah, there's, it gives reasons to things. It gives a reason to things that don't go well and things don't go the way we thought they should, or when things are hard or things suck in the world, you know, there's a reason for it. It's not, this isn't where we're supposed to be. I get caught up in the mindset easily of like, you know, I think it's super important to look ahead and to think these things and to say like, this world's not how it's supposed to be. I'm going home and it's going to be amazing. And it gives me joy and it gives me a smile and it helps me think about things that are not going well.
Yeah.
And it also, if I'm not careful, it gives me an excuse to write off all this stuff and to say I'm going home. Screw this place. Like, because the truth is, that is the truth. I'm going home. Screw this place.
Yeah. But
there could be a reason I'm here.
There could be some enjoyment, even though there could be some enjoyment of the mundane and the.
Right.
And
our friend Caleb says this really cool thing, which it blew my mind the first time I heard it. He said, when I go to heaven, I'm never going to have courage again. I'm never going to have to be brave.
Right.
I'm never going to have to step out of my comfort zone again. And those are all things I get to do while I'm here. And I was just like, you're right. There's still some of that stuff,
right,
which is cool. And it also like, it can give me, it feels like a free pass to like hit the snooze button on the things of this world and to keep laying in bed. And we're here for a reason. Like there has to be a reason why I exist. And there has to be people I'm going to run into today that for some reason God put them there. And I have a duty. And it is to pray for that person who is grumpy and could ruin my day. And it also is to not write this place off. But on top of that, it brings me a lot of joy to think about how this is not my home. I'm getting the heck out of here. I'm Mary Poppins in it at some point. And it's so helpful.
Just floating away past Big Ben.
With a daggum umbrella.
Yeah, there's a parallel thought of like, you know, and you could take it as, this is not my home, so screw everything here, you know? But it's like, at the same time, it's like, well, this is not my home. I'm going to a fulfilling one. Therefore, I never needed to expect this place to fulfill me. Therefore, all the boring or stressful or whatever little things have the potential to actually light up with some light And because God's using them in my life, or I can enjoy them because I'm not going to have that then. All these things that we're saying, and it's a perspective that I do not have down in any way. But it was an exciting thing to think about of like, can I start to get to that place where it's like, I arrive in Canaan, I realize this ain't it. This is not what the Lord promised. He's going to give something way better than that. Therefore, so I'm going to enjoy Canaan. I'm going to enjoy Canaan because I didn't expect it to fulfill me. So that in a way opens me up to being able to see some of the beauty in it a little in a different, from a different angle.
That's cool.
Today's podcast has been brought to you by straw hats and frogs.
R.I.P. He had no chance. Rob had no chance. He cannot be held accountable for what happened. That frog, like, it's one of the few Seinfeld things I remember is when he's pushing Frogger across the street.
Oh, yeah. And the camera goes from the top looking down, just like Frogger.
Backing up. I used to play Frogger as a kid, so that was
incredible.
That was funny.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
I keep thinking one of these weeks, if I say I'm Thomas, will you say you're Thomas or will you say I'm Lee?
I would probably say I'm Lee. Absolutely.
You just pick it up like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, for sure.
And this has been Ancient and New.
Bye.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss.
Christ died for us.
Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. life my own.
But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.